Hey there, friends. Today's episode is an absolute treat. I'm sitting down with someone whose journey is not only relatable, but also super inspiring. My good friend Emily, aka Ecom Emily, went from scrolling social media like the rest of us to building a successful Amazon business and then pivoting to ultimately build thriving print on demand and digital Etsy shops. During our conversation, we got into the nitty-gritty of setting realistic goals, staying focused amidst the noise, balancing business with mom life, and giving yourself permission to pivot when needed. Emily's journey is a masterclass in resilience, determination, and just keeping it real. If you're an entrepreneur struggling with comparison, feeling stuck, or just need a good reminder that you're not alone in this crazy journey, this episode is for you. So grab your coffee and let's dive into this incredible conversation with Emily. Welcome to Thrive Anyway, the podcast for creative entrepreneurs with big dreams who know that success isn't a straight line. It's a beautifully messy journey. In case we haven't met yet, my name is Manny Dobuzinski, a busy Midwest boy mom and recovering perfectionist who turned my creativity into multiple six-figure handmade and print-on-demand businesses, generating over $1 million in revenue along the way. From the big wins to the messy middles and all the lessons and laughs in between, we're here to show up, take action, and prove that no matter what life throws at you, you can thrive anyway. Let's get into it. Emily, I'm so glad to have you here today. You and I have recently gotten to know each other a little better, and I just love your story because it's so real and so relatable. You're a mom, like I am, a former career woman, and like most of us, came with, you know, no special training or roadmap for this whole running a business. You didn't start with, you know, a perfect plan in mind. So can you take us back to the beginning? What made you decide even to take that leap into entrepreneurship? And where did you start?
Absolutely. Well, I'm super excited to be here. It's been so fun getting to know you more and sharing our stories. But yes, about 2.5 years ago or so, I was, like many parents, many moms, scrolling Instagram, seeing all of these videos about how other women or other people were making money through these different side hustles. They were able to leave their full-time jobs to spend more time with their kids, all of the above. So I got kind of pulled into that algorithm on Instagram, which I think once you start watching a couple of those videos, your Instagram all of a sudden is flooded with all of the make money online content. And the reason I had kind of even just started dabbling in it was my daughter was getting ready to start kindergarten the following year. My husband and I were both in traditional 9-to-5 jobs. And the school schedule is really hard for working parents. You know, the days are shorter, there's summer breaks, there's winter breaks, there's spring breaks, there's all the breaks. And we were really going back and forth about how are we going to make that work with the school schedule, with our 9-to-5 jobs, with, you know, swim team practices and gymnastics and dance and all of the things that, all you know, your things. Kids, all the things that your kids do and need and appointments and sick days. So we had really just been talking about it, and it was like, how are we going to do this? Are we going to need to hire help? Are we going to need to have someone who can come pick them up? And that's kind of when I started going down that rabbit hole of Instagram videos. And I first started selling on Amazon, doing Amazon FBA, where I was reselling products on Amazon. That's kind of where I got my toes wet. And I did do fairly well on there rather quickly. And I learned a lot through the process. But then one of the things I learned was that I really didn't want to manage inventory, because you had to package all of the products, you had to label them, you had to ship them. And I was lugging these 50-pound boxes everywhere, and it was just way too much. And so one day when I was on YouTube watching content for Amazon, I stumbled across a video about print on demand and selling on Etsy. And I was like, oh my gosh, this could be a really great fit for me, because I can still have this business, and I'm selling products, but I'm not actually having to touch them. And I liked the idea of researching and creating designs in Canva, simple designs, things like that, and being creative in that way, but really also using the data that I was finding through research. So January of 2023, it was my New Year's resolution, and I kind of just dove all in. And that's really where it began. And it just kind of took off from there.
That's amazing. Isn't it so interesting that we land in these places where it's like, you look back and it's like, how did that happen?
How did I get here? I think that often.
Yes, I hear you. So when you first started, did you have, you know, number one, you swung for the fences with Amazon FBA. I looked at that at one point with even my handmade business years ago. And it was like, Amazon is a learning curve all its own. So kudos for that and being able to even just find success right out of the gate with that. When you started, whether it was Amazon or, you know, converting to print on demand, did you have like a vision of what success looked like for you, knowing kind of what you were hoping to get out of it? Or did it really evolve as you went along? And then how would you say that vision maybe has changed now?
Sure. I think if I were to think like big picture vision when I started, my goal had always been to go part-time in my job because I thought that would be the perfect combination where I could still have my career. I could be doing something, you know, my own small business kind of on the side, but then I'd get to be able to spend time with my kids. So that was kind of always my vision that I would repeat in my head, but I really didn't know if it was possible. I had some delusion, some healthy delusion, like I'm going to make this work. I was obsessed when I first started. So that was kind of always my big picture vision. And then as I went along, I think I set small goals as I was going because there was no way. And I knew realistically when I started, I wasn't going to go part-time, you know, in a few months. And I wasn't going to go part-time even in a year. But I knew based on everything I was listening to and watching and learning about that if I stuck with it, then I could get there. And so I'm a very present person, like present-minded person. I don't like to look too far in the future. And sometimes that drives my husband crazy, but I am very much like, okay, well, I need to know what we're doing today. I need to know what we're doing this week. And so I set very tangible goals as I was going along. And I remember it was like the first 10 sales, right? That was kind of like my first, okay, that's proof of concept. That is success right there. And then it was, can I make $500 in a month? Can I make $1,000 in a month? And then for a good period of time, I was bringing in like one extra paycheck per month, right? So I was bringing in, I was getting paid twice a month from my job. And then I was getting one whole extra paycheck from Etsy. And I thought that was success, right? Because I was kind of getting close to that where I might be able to go part-time. And so every few months, my goals kind of shifted based on what I was doing, but I really tried to stay as present in the moment as I could and realistic because having been in a career, we often did SMART goals, which were, we would repeat them over and over again, but they have to be specific. So I tried to be really specific with my goals and I really tried to focus on what were the things I could control? And the things I could control were creating listings. I could control how often I was researching. I could control how much time I was spending. So I really tried to be specific with those. I tried to put a measurement to them. Like I want to do 2 listings per day. Okay. I can monitor that. And I wanted them to be realistic and attainable. And I wanted them to be able to be something I knew I couldn't with kids and a full-time job be doing 20 listings in a day. That was not attainable. And I was going to feel super burnt out and like I was letting myself down. And so I tried to make them really attainable and tried to put specific time measurements to them, right? Like, okay, this month, this is my plan. I'm going to mark them down. And so I had that vision of potentially going part-time and which now I have gone full-time entrepreneur. So that kind of exceeded my vision, but then really living in the moment of focusing on the things I could control.
Yeah. I think former HR lady here, you know, I was the type that always nerded out on, you know, the SMART goals and have a plan and, you know, make them specific and people kind of roll their eyes, right? But that whole concept has existed for decades, both in the business world as well as outside of it for a reason, because it really does help you kind of put something tangible down on paper to really have something to work towards versus just this, illusion of what we see, on YouTube or in videos of, make 10K this month. Well, that's not going to be your first few months. That might not even be your first year in some cases. So being able to be, like you said, realistic and, have something, tangible that you can actually work towards and control and really feel like you're in the driver's seat is such, has such an impact, I think, on our journeys and how we, determine that success and how we even measure that versus trying to measure it against, the media's, measuring stick that's out there that I feel like we're just really inundated with. Speaking of, kind of what we see kind of out there in video land and, what we're all exposed to on a regular basis for social media, I feel like so many entrepreneurs feel this pressure to be perfect or to have everything figured out. Like you have to have this perfect roadmap. How do you handle those moments where, or how did you handle those moments of uncertainty or feeling like, is this the right thing? Is it enough? You know what I mean?
For sure. And I think, there, like you're saying, there's so much content out there, and a lot of it is attention grabbing. And it's the information can be accurate, but it's obviously you have to think about, is this realistic? Is this one design going to make me $10,000 next month? And I think what helped me from the beginning was really focusing on my own shop and my own journey and not having that comparison to anyone out there. And it's really hard, especially as you start to get into the space. I'm on Instagram sharing content now, and it's hard, especially in social media and places like that, to not compare yourself and to not feel like, okay, well, what I'm doing isn't as good as this person or isn't as trendy as this person. And I really always try to go back to focusing on my lane and then also just my why. My why and why I started this might be very different from another print-on-demand seller or another entrepreneur. And for me, I just want to live the life that I want to live, which is with my kids, with my husband, flexibility. And I'm not trying to make $1 million next month to, buy fancy cars. And for some people, being able to travel is really important to them, or being able to have designer brands is really important to them, or being able to be a digital nomad is really important to them. And everyone has their own journey and their own why. And I think for me, I always have to come back to that. The other thing I'll say about kids too is they are very humbling. And we could be here having this conversation and my daughter will come home after school and it's like, this, none of this matters to them, right? Like we're making snacks, we're taking them to practice, we're getting them bathed and in bed and doing all the things. And so I would say for a big portion of my day, like I'm not even necessarily thinking about this. I'm prioritizing what they're doing and what me and my husband need to do for them. We're trying to have date nights or watch our favorite TV shows or whatever. And so I really try to stay as grounded as possible and focus just on what we need and what we're doing. And anytime I start to feel myself kind of floating into that comparison trap or wondering why this person is having this many sales on a product and I have a better product in my mind, but it's not selling like that. Again, I always have to go back to, okay, that's out of my control. Let me focus on the things I can control. Let me focus on my reasons. Why am I even doing this? And kind of just recentering myself in that way.
Totally. I can completely appreciate that, both as a mom and also, we're human, right? We see what's happening. It's like our knee-jerk reaction is always going to, be drawn to that and want to compare ourselves. And, it's tricky sometimes, especially if you are, seeing it a lot, especially in the day and age where we're in now, where every video you scroll through, it seems like there's something, or like you said, the algorithm starts to know you alarmingly well and starts, putting all this stuff in front of you. So it's like, was there ever a time, either through that or just through your own experiences, through your own kind of path, where you were like, Am I really cut out for this? Like, should I be doing this? Is it the thing? Is this the right choice for me? Like, should I be doing this?
Yes, definitely. I would say the first few months, and I would go out on a limb and say many print-on-demand sellers, entrepreneurs, anyone would probably say the same thing. But those first few months, I always tell people are the hardest. Maybe not the hardest, but part of that is one of the hardest times because you're not getting sales. You're obsessing over your stats, your views, your visits. You're wondering, why are people not seeing my products yet? What am I doing? And I think you have to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I had to get very comfortable with not being good at something right off the bat. I was an athlete. I'm competitive. I like to be good at things. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm like, okay, we're going to do it and we're going to be good at this. And I don't like to do things that I'm not very like good at. So I tend to stay in like my comfort zone like that in that way. And you have to get very comfortable just accepting the fact that you're not good at this and you're going to get better. And I think in those first few months, I just accepted, okay, your designs are not as good as this person. I did a lot of self-auditing. I would pull up my listings next to other listings and I would compare them and I would figure out what I needed to do better. And I was just always trying to get better. And my goal was in those first few months just to improve. But of course, I was obsessing over my views, my visits, favorites, things like that. And it can really consume you. And that is really when I had to make the conscious choice mentally and emotionally to try to focus on the things that I could focus on, the things that I can control. And that was a big part of those first few months for sure. And I always tell students or people that I speak to who are interested in starting this, I see so many people quit right before they really hit that point where they're going to see some progress. And sure, that point comes at a different time for everyone, right? Like my journey may not be the same as your journey or somebody else's journey. And our sales history is going to be different. And the way that we grow is going to be different based on so many different things. But I see so many people kind of quit or take their foot off the gas before they really get good. And then I would say, too, this is kind of unrelated. I think going back to the idea of social media, I think what's not being shown a lot is that this does take a lot of work up front. And I gave myself 6 months. I said, okay, we're going to commit 100% all in, full force for 6 months. And if by the end of 6 months, I haven't seen any progress or I feel like this is a waste of time, then I can reevaluate. And I even told my husband, okay, I have until the end of June and then I'm gonna decide. And I think giving myself that 6 month period to really focus and be like, you can't quit because you have to do this for 6 months. It was kind of like a way to keep myself accountable. But I think a lot of the social media content and other things, it just doesn't show how much work in the front end goes into this. And because there's learning, there's research, there's learning how to design. I had no design experience. I had no business experience. I was in education for 12 years, So this was all brand new. And it's like you can't expect to go play Mozart on the piano your first try. You have to practice and you have to start with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or something like that. So I had to really give myself the grace to be like, it's okay that you're not good at this. You're going to give yourself 6 months, you're going to commit, but you do have to put in the work and the consistency. And I never like to make it appear like I didn't put in work because I did. I spent hours all the time. Any waking moment that I could, that my kids weren't awake, that I wasn't working on lunch breaks, in the evenings, early in the morning, I was committed to watching content, practicing, designing, researching, listing over and over and over again, and just testing things until things really started to work. And I would say it was a combination of all of that, but I definitely wanted to quit. But I think by giving myself that window of time and just accepting that I had to do the work, that really helped me.
Yeah, I think that is so true. It's so hard. Again, I always go back to social media, and it's hard because I feel like with us being present on social media to bring awareness to this, it's also the flip side. We're exposed too to all these things. And I'd say that's probably one of the number one things that I see with people when I get questions or when I have people in my community saying, This isn't working. What am I doing wrong? Well, how long have you been at it? Well, I just started, last month or 2 months ago. Great. Keep going.
Going.
I think there's this, and again, some of it is what we see. And like you said, some of it is so many of us do hold ourselves to pretty high standards and we want to be good at it right away and we want to see success right away. But, I love your comparison with Mozart. Mine's always like go to the gym because that was always something, getting fit was something I've always struggled with. It's like you don't walk into a gym on day one and walk out having lost 10 pounds. It doesn't work. You don't go into something being good at it. You keep doing it and you keep repeating and you keep learning and adjusting. And then you get good. The good comes from the repetition,
For
right?
sure,
It's
for
putting
sure.
in the reps to make that happen. And like you said, it's, I use that comparison of highlight reel as well. It is what we see on social media 9 times out of 10 is a highlight reel. There's so much more to the story. And it's inspiring, right? It's that hard balance of it's inspiring, much like you saw, it's like you saw the potential early on, like, oh, this is a thing. Same thing for me. I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know you could make money doing this early on. So there's that careful balance of being inspired by the possibility and the opportunity and having, some fuel and motivation with that, but don't use that as your comparison and don't use that as like your timeline of this happened instantly when the reality is there's so much more to the story. And that person got there themselves by putting in their own reps and having their own journey too. So it's such an important thing to remember in all of this, whether it's print on demand or, handmade business, which I've done in the past, or, Amazon FBA. None of us are born experts at these
No,
things
not at
at
all.
all. So it's, just such a good reminder. One of the things, we've talked about before, and I know you mentioned just, being very present and having balance, right, in running a business and being, a solopreneur. So for you, I'm always curious, like, how do you decide where to focus your time and energy, especially, you've now got multiple shops, right? You post on social media and being a present mom, are there any kind of small habits or routines that have had a big impact for you or that you like to kind of incorporate with that?
Sure. I would say big picture, the things that I choose to invest my time in, I've learned a lot over the last couple of years in choosing that I get to build the business, right? So I get to choose the things that fit the lifestyle we would like. So I really love Etsy and print on demand, and I also sell digital products for a lot of reasons. And a big part of that is I can do it in my time. I can do it at the hours that I choose. I don't have to show up. I don't have to show my face on Etsy. I don't have to make content for Etsy unless I wanted to. Like, I don't do any social media for my shop. So I spend a good amount of time there right now because it allows me to bring in that income, but do it in a way that fits our family. And then with Instagram, I can do a lot of that on my own time as well. And it's been great to start building a community there on Instagram of some really wonderful people, a lot of wonderful women, moms that are interested in kind of taking a step to impact their lives, whether financially or with their time, by doing something similar. So that's been really nice. I think that is something that can be very rewarding, is building those connections. And one thing I was worried about going full-time entrepreneur was losing connection, losing relationships. And so I am putting in time in places like, doing these calls or talking with people offline about what they're doing or what are they seeing or how can we help each other, because those relationships, I think, are just really important for your quality of life and feeling like you're not on an island, because it can really feel like that. And I've recently partnered, the other area that I spend a lot of time is I've partnered with Gold City Ventures. So we've launched a course and we have students there. And that really brings me back to my education roots. It allows me to work closely with students. It allows me to share my journey in a way that can help people, recreate their own success in their own unique way. And I love that that ability to mentor and guide, because that's my whole career was spent doing that. And so that really fills my cup in that way. So big picture, choosing where I spend my time, it's really a combination of obviously what's the best return on your investment, but also what is the life that we're trying to build. And I didn't get into, my husband will remind me all the time, you didn't get into this to work more. And as entrepreneurs, we can be very guilty of working all the time. And don't get me wrong, I have had weeks or months, especially like in quarter four or other times where there's not a lot of balance. There's a lot of time spent working on my laptop doing different things. So it ebbs and flows. I would say a few small strategies that I have picked up over time. This does not work for everyone, but and it depends on your personality. For me, I'm a morning person, and I learned if I set my coffee pot to start at 5 a.m., I will get up at 5 a.m. and I put on a reality TV show that I love that I am catching up on. And I process my orders. I do things that are easy, but I would call essential tasks for the day. So things like processing orders or personalizing any orders or responding to customer messages or things like that that have to be done on a daily basis, but don't require too much brain power. And I drink my coffee, I watch my show, I take my time, I do some of those things. So I'm starting my day off in a really positive way. And then from there, you know, it's a mad dash for getting ready for school, bus stop, preschool drop-offs, like all those things. So it gets a little bit crazy. But I think having that time to myself in the morning as a mom, when you don't get a lot of alone time, is really, really key for kind of setting up my day in a positive way. And again, that doesn't work for everyone. I know other entrepreneurs who stay up late, like they're more like night owls or they do other things like that. And I think that's totally great. I think it just depends on your how you operate best. So for me, I found that that was incredibly helpful. I start my day calm. I start my day like ready to go. When my kids wake up, I'm super patient. I feel like I have my feet under me, which is really important. So that's been helpful. And then the other thing I would say too is I'll go back to the goals. Like I still set monthly goals, weekly goals. I write them down. I use Asana. Now, I didn't at the beginning. At the beginning, I was just writing things down, but I use Asana to organize myself and to check things off and to feel like I'm doing the things that I set out to do. And I try to make time to really plan my week so that I feel prepared. And I know, okay, Fridays, I'm really busy. I have a hair appointment. We're going to do this. We have dance and all these things. And so I don't plan as much on that day so that I don't feel as overwhelmed. So I really try to work around our life and what we have going on, and make sure that it fits that lifestyle we're looking for.
And I think it evolves too over time, right? I always think of it, you know, there's this whole concept of, you know, work-life balance. And like you said, balance isn't always possible, especially as an entrepreneur. It's kind of, you know, it's this nice theory. So I tend to think of it as like seasons, right? There are certain times of the year, like if you're on Etsy or you're selling, you know, anything retail related, right, online is Q4, right? That's a busy time of year. That is a busy season, you know, in terms of like an actual calendar year. And then there's also seasons as brand new sellers. Your season as a new seller is going to look different than someone who's, you know, been on the journey for a while and has a little bit more of a routine that's a little bit different now than it was when they started, because your goals are going to look a little different. You know, what you're pushing for and driving for is going to look a little different. So it's like, you know, I've really shifted my thinking to, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, balance is important, but, you know, also keeping in mind that there's seasonality too as an entrepreneur. And some seasons are going to be busy. Some seasons are going to be easy. You know, the whole like everything's easy. There will be times where it's pretty easy, you know, once you kind of have a good routine. There's also going to be seasons as an entrepreneur that are really hard too. You know, so it's, you know, don't get stuck on, you know, I always tell people, don't get stuck on like, you know, this concept of always feeling balanced, because it'll evolve. You know, strive for, you know, that's why I was asked about like habits and routines, because habits and routines are things that can kind of help keep you grounded, especially when times where there may be less balance or those busy seasons.
For sure. And it, like you said, it definitely evolves. When I was still working, that looked very different than it looks now. And when I first started, very different than it looks now. You know, now I have the luxury of being able to plan my days and I try to batch things together. You know, if it's, I have some clients that I do work for. I'm going to do client work on this day. I'm going to do listings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I try to really batch things so that my workflow makes sense and I can just stay in that flow as much of the day as possible. Before, I was having to really switch gears. I was switching all the time. You know, I was going to work for a few hours and then I would do some stuff for at lunch and then it was the kids' time and stuff like that. And so you do have to find what works best for you. And like you're saying, give yourself grace that it's not going to be balanced. There have been, like I said, many a days. December, at one point I looked at my husband and I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like this is like, there was a lot going on and it was a lot of customer inquiries and there was some shipping issues that happened this Christmas and, you know, all these different things. And, but I think at the end of the day, it was like, okay, once we get to the middle of December, things are going to slow down. And January and February are always pretty calm and relaxed before we start building up again for the spring. And that allows you to recover and to rest and then to kind of ramp back up again. And I do enjoy that kind of cyclical pattern that you get throughout the year with Etsy, but then with any entrepreneurial venture, right? Like everyone has its ups and downs, ebbs and flows. And it's just learning to rest and recover when you can. And then also be able to, you know, put the gas on when you need to also. And for me, like I mentioned, writing things down, scheduling things out, having consistency in my mornings is really helpful. Just having some things that I have that control over and that every day I'm starting off on a really positive foot for me helps make my day go 100% better for myself.
Okay. I have to ask, what's your favorite, you know, you said you're catching up on like reality shows. What's your favorite guilty pleasure there?
Oh my gosh. So many. I am a little bit of a reality TV, like junkie, no lie. I pretty much watch everything on Bravo. That's a given. Housewives, all the things on Bravo. And then I'm also like a big TLC person. So I watch like a lot of 90 Day Fiance, Sister Wives, like all of those things, which are perfect for when you're working. I've joked with people before, like I wanted a business I could build while sitting on the couch watching Real Housewives. And that's what I did because that is like, I enjoy pop culture. I love listening to podcasts about pop culture. I love that part. And that's always been a big part of who I am, just kind of keeping in touch with that. So I start every day just, you know, with that kind of on behind while I'm processing my orders on Printify or doing whatever. And I love it. It's great.
I love it. That's too funny. I know you posted things on Instagram before too, that for those who don't know, we're pretty close in age. So it's that whole kind of elder grand millennial time frame of our lives. And I'm like, I so relate to that. Like I feel seen.
I'm so glad because sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so out of touch. Like I really realize on social media, like how elder millennial I am sometimes, but I know there's so many of us out there, so it's okay.
Yeah. My 11-year-old son, he'll say stuff or I'll say something that was like something I grew up saying and he'll look at me like, Mom, that's not cool. I'm like, oh no. We're at the age of my life.
We're at that point now, aren't we?
Oh my gosh. I mean, you've accomplished so much in a relatively short amount of time within the last few years, you know, looking back over all of it, you know, I know you coach new people and, you know, you're working with people who are just getting started. But for you, I mean, what's, you know, one lesson, you know, if you could go back and tell your, you know, few year younger self, you know, back at the beginning that, you know, that you'd either tell them or wish you'd learned sooner, or like I said, perhaps, you know, wish you could go back and give advice to your beginner self, what would it be?
Yes, that's a good one. First, I would say take a breath because I was just So I don't want to say, I mean, I was not desperate, but I was definitely like, I want this to work so bad. And I was so all in. And I think in a lot of ways that helped me to some degree because I tried to make that a productive feeling, but it can get really all consuming. And so I think the first thing I would tell myself is take a breath. Like, don't fixate on your stats. Don't fixate on these things. Just take a step back and like focus on you. And I know I got there because we've talked about that today, but I think really being able to take a step back and just focus on your own journey is so important. Like, and I know we've hit on that a lot today, but I do think that is something I would absolutely share with myself. And then I think the other thing would be that it's okay. I would tell myself and others, it's okay to pivot. You know, I think sometimes we start something and it's like, I need to make this work. I can't quit or I won't be successful. And, you know, with Amazon FBA, I had to come to the realization like this was not the journey and the lifestyle that I necessarily wanted. It works and it works well for so many people and it was working for me to some degree, but this was not how I wanted to be spending my time outside of hanging out with my kids or work. And so I gave myself the approval to pivot and try something different. And then even with print on demand, you know, I started with t-shirts, I started with sweatshirts. Like many of us start with apparel because that's, you know, the most popular common thing avenue to start. And several months in, I pivoted to selling some other products like home decor, giftable products. And I remember I listed a candle and it sold that night. And I was like, holy cow, like there could be something here. But I was almost so afraid to, like, well, I can't stop doing apparel. Like, I have to do apparel if I'm selling print on demand. And it took me a while to really give myself that acceptance to an approval to pivot to something else that was working. So if you need to switch gears, that's okay too. Now, I always tell students, don't switch gears a million times. Like, you got to give it time to marinate and you got to give it time to work. But if you're seeing that something is working, don't hesitate to pivot in that direction and to go in that direction. And, you know, my shop, obviously, I've done well and it still blows my mind that in 2 years, I was able to hit 500K in revenue as someone with zero business experience, which is why I'm so passionate about, you know, sharing this and other things with aspiring entrepreneurs or busy moms or working parents or anything like that, because it is really possible, maybe not to do 500K, but to bring in $500 a month for groceries or $1,000 a month to pay for daycare or whatever that might be. And so I think there's a lot of potential there, but I think giving yourself that time, just take a breath, let it be, but then also be willing to switch gears if you need to, be willing to pivot, just follow what's working and go in that direction and know it's okay if you need to leave something behind and move forward in a different direction.
Absolutely. That's what I tell people. I'm like, exactly that. You've gotta give it enough time to see if it's actually going to work. Like,
Right.
you know, I think sometimes we fall into this, you know, we create overwhelm for ourselves because we're constantly bouncing around. Or there's so many, you know, new products that are coming out all the time. And it's like, well, maybe I should try that. Or maybe I should add that. Well, you know, have you worked on your designs? Like, are you seeing, you know, any sort of momentum or interest that you can kind of leverage before you just start arbitrarily, you know, bouncing around? I will say that's like one of the hard things, at least for me, when I first started print on demand, was like you said, I became obsessed with it. Like, I just saw, especially coming from kind of like you, where it's like you go from this world of fulfilling and doing everything yourself, like you find enjoyment in running your own business, but it's like, I don't know if I this is sustainable, like for me, you know, for my journey. And then with print on demand, it's like you can do all of this, but there's a risk, right? And there is so much opportunity and so many different ways you can go with it that it's like it can be really easy to like fall into this, you know, speed trap of I'm gonna do this and this, I'm gonna bounce to this, or this isn't working, you know, immediately. So I'm gonna go try this because maybe this will be, you know, kind of that magic thing that, you know, suddenly starts working. So it's like, I would say follow the data. You know, data won't lie to you. And, you know, but you also got to give yourself enough time for there to be enough data to like make an informed decision, right?
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely a balance of following those numbers, following the data, and having focus. I think when I'm working with newer shop owners, one of the first things I'm always working with them on is we need to pick a focus. We need to invest time. If you're doing t-shirts and you are selling them for nurses, right? We need to stay there for a minute. Like we need to really master how to list these t-shirts, how to understand this niche, how to do keyword research. And I think if you are moving on to too many things, like you're saying at the beginning, you're not really going deep into anything and you're just surface level designing, listing, researching, all of that. And that's okay. I've been there, definitely done that too. But that
we all go through that, right?
Right.
It's almost a rite of passage with
Princess. It is. And that sense of focus, it's like pick one to two product types, pick one to two niches, and you don't have to stay there forever, but then follow the data. Let that sit there. Let publish more listings there. Just keep practicing. And then you can move on and try something different depending on what you're seeing in your stats. But I think that focus is really important. And then if you need to pivot, giving yourself the ability to do that is helpful. It is hard. It's so hard. Shiny object syndrome. I am entirely guilty of that. And I was talking to a student of mine the other day and she was asking, should I open a second shop? Should I add another products? And I told her, I was like, you don't have to do, like, let's really just stay here for a second and let's focus here because you got to dig deep and you got to be really mastering how you're doing this and getting those consistent sales and doing that before we're starting to spread our attention other places. Because as soon as you start spreading your attention other places, it just, you're in too many directions at that point. And I think one of the best things I did was I spent the whole first year of my shop only doing Etsy. I wasn't trying to do anything else. I wasn't trying to sell anything else. I wasn't on social media. I wasn't doing anything like that. I was just focused on Etsy. And I think that was such a key part of my experience. And then once I felt like that was in a really sustainable place, I opened my digital product shop. And then once I felt like that was in a very sustainable place, I, you know, moved on to exploring coaching or working with clients, things like that. So I think give yourself time to really master it. And again, it goes back to all of the content we're seeing on social media that makes it look so easy. I spent over 365 days only working on Etsy, like only focused on print on demand and optimizing and researching and doing all of this to get to that point that I am, you know, operating from now. So I would say, give yourself that time, give yourself that focus, because it's so, so, so important.
So for someone listening, they're doing the things, they feel like they're giving it time, but they're still feeling discouraged or stuck. What's the most important thing you would want them to know right now?
Number one is that we all feel like that at some point, different points in the journey, different experiences, and it is okay. You are definitely not alone in that feeling. There are many of us who have felt that same exact thing where you're just not sure what direction to go. You're not sure why things aren't working. Number two is I did a lot, as I mentioned, a lot of self-auditing. I did a lot of, instead of looking outwardly, say, wondering why the Etsy algorithm wasn't showing my products or wondering why XYZ, I really tried to channel that towards myself. And so thinking about, look at your products next to bestsellers, look at your designs, look at your keywords, look at your mockups. Let's really dive into what do you think is the root of why we're not there. Oftentimes when I'm working with students, there's a few different common factors. Number one is, you know, maybe they just haven't had the time to post. They're busy. They have jobs, kids, all the things. They haven't had time to post as many listings as they would like. And it takes a good number of listings to really, and I should say, if you don't come into this with experience, I did not come into this with experience, no graphic design experience, no business experience, nada,
Same.
nothing.
Nothing.
So it took me a lot of listings to figure out a lot of designs, a lot of research to figure out what I was even doing. And I see a lot of new sellers that post, maybe 30 listings and then let them kind of sit there, but then wonder why they're not selling. And I totally understand that 100%. And I think it's, you just have to keep going. It's almost like you got to list those, but you got to keep moving forward and keep publishing and posting. And I think it's just not getting discouraged if you've posted a few and nothing is happening. But with the ones you have, it's really important to do that self-auditing. It's really important to compare them to the listings that are selling on Etsy. What are those products doing? And being able to look internally and know it's okay if I am not great at this yet. Like we were saying earlier, it's okay. I just needed to know what were they doing that I wasn't doing and how could I get better? And I think projecting all of that energy in a productive way internally to figure out how you can grow is really important instead of externally projecting that onto the algorithm or other things or that it's too saturated or anything like that. So I think trying to find a productive way to do that is really important. And then the last thing too is, it's okay to ask for help as well. If you need to get coaching or you need to join a course or you need to watch all, I still watch all the YouTube content. I still try to watch even things that are not POD related, but I'm always trying to learn and knowing that I don't know, not even close to everything, And so it's being willing to say, I don't know everything. I need to keep absorbing this and just keep diving into the content, but practice as you're going, practice as you're watching videos, do things to take a step forward as you're going. And I would say the last thing is I really live by the I kind of came up with this mantra for myself that was like list it and let it be. So I will list things and I will just kind of let it go and I don't marinate on, and I tried to do this early on too. I wasn't marinating on the products that I was listing. I wasn't going back to them constantly and, trying to obsess over, well, I think this is perfect. Why is no one buying this? I really tried to just list every day and let those listings be. Just let them go out into the Etsy algorithm, into the universe, and, then I would come back and look at the analytics and the data and just see if anything was starting to stick. But I think letting go of that control of them, just keep moving forward. I know I'm going in a million directions right now, but taking small steps is so important. So that's a lot of that's going through my head that I would share with someone who's kind of feeling stuck. And I just think that's such a pivotal moment right there to just take a small step every day. That's all you can do is just keep taking a small step every day. And don't be afraid to ask for help too.
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing that I tell people is just what, even if it's small, even if you're feeling overwhelmed and you're not sure what to do, what's one small thing you can do right now to take action? And then go do it and, use that as your forward momentum. And like you, kind of one of the things that I remember learning early on that I think someone probably told it to me, or I'm sure I heard probably in a YouTube video, like everything else, right? Was don't get attached to your designs and your products. I feel like I even, started hearing about that, like in my handmade world where, I was making everything. And so, especially for that, design, it's like you'll spend a lot of time on design, but, especially when you're making things. I know we have some folks, like at least in my community, that are also doing handmade stuff. It's like it's really easy to get attached to it. So I got y really used to being attached to the things that I was making because you spend so dang much time on it. And I see that with print on demand too, and I'm sure you do. People, get very attached to their designs. I work so hard on it, and no one's buying it. It's not even getting any views. And with the Etsy algorithm, what's going on? I'm like, I get it. It's important to be proud of your work and to work really hard and to focus on really great quality. But at the end of the day, set it, forget it, move on, and come back. Use the data, right? It's not that you're forgetting it forever, But let it sit. Move on. Go to the next thing. What's that one next thing that you can do versus, you know, obsessing on what is or isn't happening? Because you can't control that, right? You know, like you were saying earlier, I say the same thing. Control your controllables, right? You can't, none of us can control that. That's the algorithm. As much as we would love to. We can't control the social media algorithm. We can't control the YouTube algorithm. You know, any of us in an entrepreneurial capacity, the platforms that we're on, whatever they are, we can't control them. We can only control the steps that we're taking and what's in that scope of control. And I think that's just such an important reminder, because it is hard to, you know, set aside sometimes that feeling of, but it should be doing it and it should be doing that. You know, where can you, okay, maybe it should be, but where can you be curious and use that for your next action versus staying stuck and obsessing, you know, over here in this corner, which again, we're human. It's easy to do. We've all done it and been there many times.
Yes. Trust me. I mean, I still have days like this month.
Absolutely. So do I.
Yes. Right? This month has been a little bit slower for me. I won't lie. And there are days I'm like telling my husband, oh my gosh, why are things slower for today? And then the next day picks back up again. And, you know, at this point, even a few years in, I still can get wrapped up into that. And I think just practicing that mindset, and I kind of view it, we only get so much energy in a day, right? Like we only have a tank of energy, and so much of it's going to your family or certain things, but I don't want to use that energy in an unproductive way. And so, yes, yeah, sometimes I allow myself to feel frustrated or to wonder or to compare or whatever, but I try to rein it back in because I'm like, okay, that's not getting me anywhere right now. I need to take that and do something productive with it. And that can be really, really hard, especially in the beginning when the sales are quiet and you're just not sure what's working and what's not working. And it's complete. We've all been there 100%. And I think being able to rein in some of the, just those thoughts that are so human and so natural, but trying to just channel them to a productive way. And I do that with my kids too, right? Like I'm always like, okay, it's okay to feel this way. However, let's direct it this way, right? So I'm always kind of doing that. And as you were talking about the next step, there's a song in Frozen 2, like the next right thing or something that Anna sings. And I'm always, it's so funny. My girls always listen to that. And I'm always thinking, that's exactly it. Like you're just trying, you don't have to have it all figured out. I don't even have a plan or a thing that I'm, this huge thing that I'm working towards right now. It's really in the stage of life I'm in. I'm doing the next right thing for me, the next right thing for us, the next right thing in my shop. And so you don't really have to have it all figured out at that point, but taking a small step every day is so, so, so important.
So I have to say, you know, thank you so much, Emily, for sharing your journey with us. You know, I think this has been such an incredible example of resilience and determination. You know, you've seen lots of different things and tried different avenues. And so I love how you've been able to just kind of be able to show us that success isn't about having that perfect plan or never making mistakes. It's really about having that courage to keep going, learning from setbacks when they happen, not if. And being able to, you know, stay true to what you set out to accomplish. So before we wrap up, where can people find you and connect with you online?
Absolutely. So I am on Instagram. My handle is ecomemily. That's ECOMM Emily. So you can find me there posting pretty much every day in my stories, trying to share as much relatable, very transparent information about selling print on demand on Etsy. And then in there, I also have a free workshop if you're interested in learning more about kind of my strategies with print on demand, things like that. And then I have a website, ecomemily.com as well. So Instagram is probably where I'm the most active. So you can drop a hi, you can comment, send me a DM. It's just me. I don't have a VA or anything. So I'm the one responding to everything. So please, please, please feel free to reach out and say hello.
Perfect. Well, I will be sure to link all of that in the show notes so that it's easy for everyone to find. And I just wanted to say thank you so much again for being here and for being so open and generous with your story. I truly appreciate you for sharing that with us.
Thanks for having me, Mandy. This was great. It was so fun.
What an incredible conversation. I truly love chatting with Emily. Her journey is such a testament to the power of focus and just being willing to figure it out as you go. From navigating the chaos of mom life to building a thriving print-on-demand business, Emily showed us that success isn't about having it all figured out from the start. None of us ever do. It's about taking one small step at a time, learning from the setbacks, and staying true to your why. If you enjoyed today's episode and love hearing from fellow entrepreneurs like Emily, I'd love to know. Your feedback means the world to me. So if there are other guests you'd like to hear from or topics you want me to cover, be sure to send me a message or leave me a comment. Don't forget to follow Emily at the links I have for you in the show notes for more relatable insights and transparent advice on navigating the world of print on demand. And of course, if you found value in this episode, make sure to subscribe and share it with a fellow entrepreneur who could use a little extra dose of encouragement today. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, no matter where you are on your journey, keep showing up, keep learning, and most importantly, keep choosing to thrive anyway.